Traveling at the Speed of Bike, Chapter 2, The Bike in the Attic. I say no. It's a decision that makes sense as soon as I verbalize it. In fact, I can't imagine myself saying anything else. It is in response to an email about a carpool being formed to take students from the suburb city where I live to the arts magnet school many miles away, closer to the city of Atlanta, where my younger daughter has just been accepted. There is no school bus. I would only have to drive one day a week there and back. But no. My answer is instinctively no. I don't know why, but I sense that with my older daughter leaving for college and my younger one starting at this new school in eighth grade, it is time for me to be doing something different too. As a freelance writer whose business is currently in the toilet at the tail end of the recession, I know I am at a crossroads. I write back to the very organized mom who has generously taken charge of the carpools and say that I may regret this decision, but I am going to throw my bike and laptop in the back of the car, toss my camera over my shoulder, and head into the city every day to see what happens next. What happens next is I fall in love. I fall in love with artists painting murals and old couches left to rot, and buildings going up and others falling down, and strangers playing saxophones and riding streetcars and telling me their life stories. I fall in love with bike riding on the Atlanta Beltline and Freedom Parkway and downtown. I fall in love with street photography, and I fall back in love with myself. I fall hard. So it is a surprise that I could possibly fall even more in love. Yet at the end of that first semester, after putting the holiday decorations away up in the attic again, I see the road bike just laying up there, its tires flat, its spirit broken. And I ask myself, like every other year, if this year is finally the someday when I am going to take her down. And I say yes. She's a road bike and hints at being fast, although I'm an earth person, not an air person, and I don't like speed. Yet she's light and small and would fit in my car easier than the bike from Target, which I call Muley, which I've been riding. And perhaps she'd be fun on the hills of Freedom Parkway and beyond. Freedom Parkway. Perhaps there's a freedom now. My daughter's older. The need to haul back-breaking school books done. My life bringing me into the city again each day, instead of what was starting to feel like rotting at the bottom of a hill in suburbia. I wonder how much it would cost to fix her up after 20 years of total neglect. $75? $100? More? I bring her to the shop where my friends rent bikes when they've been riding with me on the Atlanta Beltline these past few months. I have no idea what it would take to put this 20-year-old shadow of my former self back on the road, but I trust them as I've overheard them advising many customers over the last few months. $35, that's what it takes. For 20 years, I was $35 away from the woman I used to be and the woman I'm about to become. I named the bike Attica after being imprisoned in the attic. She and I are now set free. I take Attica out for her first ride at a wooded greenway not far from my home. I'm getting the feel of her, leaning forward on the drop handlebars, awkwardly changing gears, when I suddenly come upon a flood across the path. A man walking a dog waves to me from the other side, and then we both turn around, walking away in opposite directions. I loop around again, having decided to just repeat a few times the mile or two I had already done, and then call it a day. But this time, when I return, I see a small group of people on the other side of the flood, and a man and a little girl in a pink jacket on this side. She stands up off her bike saddle and starts pedaling through the flood, as apparently all the others had just done one by one. She is last before her father, whom I believe is videotaping her. Her legs start out strong, but then perhaps as the water gets deeper and the length gets longer, I see her wobble. There is still a great distance for her to go, and stopping at any point is not an option. I find myself saying over and over again, just under my breath, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. Her father puts the camera down and watches as well, perhaps biting his lip too. And then she does it. She makes it to the other side. Her father turns to me, grinning broadly, and says, "Your turn," not realizing I have no intention of crossing, that I had simply gotten caught up in the drama. I smile and say no, that I'm heading back the other way. I watch him cross, great splashes of water exploding around his wheels, and then see the incredible joy on the other side as the whole group is finally reunited. I turned back, disturbed. Attica is, as I told my family, a lot of horse. Too much horse for me, in fact. After all these years of riding muley, a heavy, clunky, all-purpose bike, Attica feels lithe and light and limber, and she flies like the wind with the smallest of suggestion from me. Plus, she has no upbrakes, and I feel like I'm pitched practically upside down on the downhills. She has little cages on her pedals and no kickstand. I can feel her lean muscles and how I'm sort of an afterthought to her up there holding on for dear life. We are not yet a team. Plus, I don't know what her old frame is even made of and how much she might rust in that water. In short, I don't have the confidence of the little girl in the pink jacket that day. But I think of that little girl all night. The next day, I head to Freedom Parkway. Freedom Parkway has a wide, paved, multi-purpose path alongside it that connects downtown Atlanta to neighborhoods to the east of it. It runs near both the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Social Change and the Carter Presidential Center. It also boasts a spur path down to the Atlanta Beltline's East Side Trail. When you get to the top of the spur path after drinking water and trying not to have a heart attack from the climb, if you go right, it takes you for a bit and then winds you through a series of connected parks and then up to a main road where there are yet more linear parks. From there, you patch together spotty at first, but then significant bike access, and eventually you can end up at Stone Mountain, the largest mass of exposed granite in the world. I've gone right, not as far as Stone Mountain, but as far as Decatur, a good bike ride away. I have never gone left. My friend and I have plans to go left the next day. I don't know my way around that area very well, and he plans on showing me. But that's tomorrow, and today's today, and today I am faced with a choice. I keep thinking of the girl with the pink jacket, so when I get to the top of the wavy path, up there with Attica on Freedom Parkway for the very first time, instead of going right, I go left. I am unsteady at first, uncomfortable, vulnerable, sort of scared. I take it slow. I backtrack a couple of times, not sure I should continue. But then something happens. Something happens. I find my grip on Attica's reins lightening. I pop up in jump position when I feel I'm pitching too far forward. I even think I grab a fistful of her mane at one point and possibly even shout, "Run, Attica, run," as I whip along that road, free, 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 finally free. Freedom Parkway is suddenly not just a name. It is a destination in life, and I have finally reached it. I had scheduled surgery for Attica at the bike shop that day to get up brakes. However, I swing into the bike shop after my ride, my blood pounding, my adrenaline surging, my cheeks flushed, and the bike shop owner takes one look at me and says, "I think you should wait. Keep riding and see." I am that little girl in the pink jacket. I am in the middle of the flood, and I have chosen to pedal forward.